So here are some of the resources that I point people towards. And every time I give this, I keep forgetting to update the slide. I'll remember to do that soon. Email, if you go to ke.org/mailing list, you'll see a list of mailing lists that we have, and it covers all sorts of things from user support to development. KDE-Devel@KDE.org, if you want to get involved in development, is the list to get involved with to begin with. On IRC, we are a global project, 1,500 people and more spread across all the continents except for Antarctica, as far as I know. Not too many people there use KDE. That'll work on Antarctica. KDE-Devel, KDE-Artist, KDE-Promo, etc. There's also KDE-4-Devel. So if you want to get involved, come on to IRC, irc.freenode.net. There's always someone there, often me, actually, often Sebastian there. And you can ask questions to your heart's content. To install KDE-4, this is the part I keep forgetting to update. It's no longer developer.kde.org. That's like a complete lie. Yeah, it's now techbase.kde.org, and just click on setting up a KDE development environment, then click on tutorials and start the beginner's tutorial. It's the first tutorial on the list, and you'll be on your way. Let me get back to where I was. Oh. At the end, apparently. So there we go. Now we've got the Q&A. I hate slides of software. There we go. Okay. So that's the end of my presentation. I hope I didn't inundate you with too much information, but I hope I've excited you as far as what the possibilities are and what's coming down the pipe. So, questions, because apparently you have some.
Yeah, to give you some background info on me, I'm the lead architect of School Linux, Debian EDU.
Never heard of School Linux.
And I'm also involved in the Debian project as a Debian developer.
And of course, the joke there for those who don't know is Knut here is one of the.
he's the older one.
That's right, he's an old guy in the project.
And the problem is with the KDE, I think it's 3.5 at the moment. Mm-hmm. They switched from P-mount to HAL for doing hot plug devices.
Right.
And this is a serious problem for us. And I'm also a system administrator at the University of Oslo. And we have like 50,000 users. And if you want to use KDE, you want to give access to devices using, for example, PAM, mm-hmm. or on a machine-by-machine basis. So you don't want to put 50,000 users in the hardware access group, because that's, first of all, impossible. And besides that, you also don't want to give everyone access to every hardware device on all the machines at the installation. Mm-hmm. And with PMount, that worked. Because PMount was running in the user's session, so the groups assigned by PAM would be visible to PMount.
Yeah.
With HAL is not running in the user's session, so it doesn't know that the user is given access to these devices, so hotplug no longer work.
This is like my favorite type of question, because I get to say, it's not our fault.
So how do we fix hot plugging devices in large installations with 50,000 users?
Great question. I'm gonna push out a few different angles. First off, the reason for the move to HAL was because there were a number of other possibilities and solutions out there, none of which worked for everybody. For every given solution, something wasn't quite working. You go, well, we moved to HAL, we just screw another group, a different group of users over. The nice thing about HAL is, and I really, really hope that operating systems take advantage of this, there's a piece of software called PolicyKit, which allows one to say, okay, given this service that's over Dbus or HAL, I'm going to give access to it to this body of users, this group of users, this range of users, etc. And it's really designed to allow administrative control in a simple and efficient manner to anything that happens over Dbus, not just on the system bus, not the session bus. The session bus is obviously irrelevant, or the system bus. And the reason why this is really nice is A, it's not limited to hardware. B, it works for, it doesn't mean that we have to choose between scalability and something that works for the individual user. We can actually qualify both. And it's actually more secure than simple Linux users and groups, because it gives us more options than simply relying on users and groups. It basically gives us an arbitrary mechanism for saying, is this command, or is this functionality, or is this dbus service, or what have you, accessible to this user in this scenario at this time. If you want to know more about this, look up Dave Zuffin's work. He's actually the mastermind, some would say the crazy magician behind PolicyKit, but he's written a lot of really good material on PolicyKit and why it's the right way forward. So I completely empathize and go, yeah, you know what, there are a lot of things that are rather messy on the free software, in the free software world right now. But as far as HAL goes and using Hotplug or anything via HAL or via dbus, the path forward is PolicyKit.
Is that available in KDE 3.5?
That's not part of KDE, that's actually a system level service, just like dbus is. Yeah. So take a look at that.
I'll do.
But I love that this kind of question is like, yeah, no, it didn't matter, Bob. Not our fault, we didn't break it. Something else. But yeah, and these are the kinds of things, by the way, that Dave is kind of, Zuthin is kind of seen as a renegade genius maverick. You know, he's like, got great ideas, but he's a little bit out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not. He's actually a very, very grounded, very smart person. And he works for Red Hat. And people, even like his employer, need to hear these stories. They need to hear it because they need to understand why these things are important. Mm-hmm. And the more the market tells them it's important, the easier it is to get support for these crazy ideas.
Okay.
That doesn't include most of our
translators, who are all involved in working in isolation, so it can be valuable through the batch service. But most of them, you get one person for each language, if that, we've met. As a lot of people know, that humans are 2 years, 10 years, the average life span, if we think you suffer from the language, like KDE, or actually less than 2 years, so it's also around after the adult 18 months. So, we had thousands of people contributing to KDE, if you want. To be honest, it's all different, I believe, what is that? KDE is 3.5, last. We both, but many of the energy, most impressive desktop applications in the free software world, yeah, based on K3 system. So, Amarok, which is K3B, so a digital application that a lot of people use, even if they don't use KDE desktop. So, this is one of the, been a really successful project, and somebody's been involved for a few years. A really fun project, but yeah. So, the question is, how do you follow up on something that's not successful? We have millions of users around the world. We actually have individuals today, right there, over 100,000 seats. So, how do we follow up on I'm going to talk about that. Usually, first of all, you just give it a disclaimer. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to talk about that. Is you don't have, so I have absolute today, control over what happens. It's from people's circumstances. However, to be there, I searched in my presentation much like this over a year ago. It was really hard because it was contact. I can just show you this on night, so it's pretty tight. I hope it's over you as well. It's not. The other thing to point out is that when you talk about that, both 4.0 and really another place, as well as what's then happening in future, like after 4.0. 4.0 is the beginning of the post-KD3 world. There's going to be a lot of my other releases. 4.0 is just the beginning. I mean, friends, and looking at what's going to be happening for social life. 4.0 is going to be happening in later releases. But that is. So, I asked a question, Jim. Oh, by the way, any questions of your own? While I'm talking, please just shout it out. Up your hand. There's bad on you for 4.0 here. So, I asked the question, how do people walk on something as successful as KDE3? Well, one of the things that we identified with KDE project was, as far as what, as successful as it has been for us, we didn't have a clear vision of where we're headed. But let's say after we started the project, over 10 years ago now, we started with a very clear mission in life. Make Linux usable for growth. That would be the initial announcement that would be the goal. I know something that's usable, yeah, by any of the people's life, including my growth. Yeah, somebody doesn't know that. Alright? And he said in each mock, a complete environment had to have a web browser, a file, which is a signature, an email, a mirror, and a text bar. For specific, he had a goal in mind. And then, there we went. Good idea. And we all got the door and we wrote the code. But we lost that idea of having a vision where we're trying to get to. And one of the things we've done with KDE4 is that we said the problem, we're trying to make an experience. In my opinion, I'm curious to speak experience. We're going to be my own and capture that vision. And most of what people at Cribble want to describe that we've done actually, we kind of capsulize, like, is one of three categories. Good, want your portability, and if the course of presentation, we find really two categories using and see what's on it. And what's going on, that's what we do. We really want each of these want these actions. What we really want is we also need to look at the calendar. I see you. So I'm going to start with you to look at the information on you. You find calendar. I want to be able to listen to my music. And one of the aspects of Linux that we want to really focus on improve was the rapid design of that launch. That's where we probably started anyways, but it's not shit. I came up with a name, clicked on a bunch of meetings, and it was brilliant. A couple of years ago, and then with the best artists, I find that they're developer groups, and they're building experts, and one of the things we said was, we want to give a breath of fresh air, share the data, these talk, how we want. And one of the words said, let's apply to oxygen, because that the internet is fresh air, and that's exactly what we need to do, to hear around. So, money, screens actually buzzes to change both CD or analog as the resolution improved on that. We want it on a basic scale desktop. So when we ask for two contents in Russian, one was he used to get shy, the graphics, so that's a SVG format, it's the base for all the icons, all the art of the fact that we paid for, released. And we're going to be from the icons, and it's kind of a crazy concept from there. I said, no, we want widgets IRL, and we want the widgets to match that as well. But our website, because our KDE website has to merge on that visual aid, we want to the application of user matter to work on the fact visual aid. So it means, that's going to say, someone actually can't talk. No, I'm not an audio engineer. I make audio on media, it sounds like what that looks like. That's cool. So this is all about going to be a credit sheet coverage. Something that we not work on yet, together. So our goal is that when you work on that, KDE4, and next to it, you have a specific machine that you're going to have a Mac OS 10, iChain, the average user location looks at it and goes, I want the list one, actually. You want to start the process, and here you can't just have been good artwork with finding others, but usability and stuff, vice versa. They do this too, you try to go ahead and do my intent commission. So, this is really bad screenshots. Really hard to see them. Yeah, I'm trying to say, that had better look. So, say what? I'm running KDE4 here in a window. Actually, I'm fairly low resolution. Just so I can see how good or how not good we're doing. That's low mission, but our larger deal headlights are great. You can see both the option icons as well as the new widget style is how we have. And I'm still going to program ADAS, the screen view, global watch sensor, so it's actually not our phone here, but we're moving towards something that is just slightly directly more with the point. So that's already the options there. File, and the many widget styles of these have been tagged to where all the pieces support in the local content property hand. It's already there. The second part of beauty is using, so these abilities are already there. The ultimate is the beauty that something makes things feel good. What we can do, and the thing is hard, we call that real. So you can, I'm working, I think we don't know, we'll be able to come with quite some time as like, in fact, we can identify more, we can even add this, but here's the thing, they use it to really process, and for software actually, where we're there, very separate. And the ability to process was very crucial, much later the initial software came more than. Much of the software has to change how software even development works, but we figured we should apply some of those value principles and not change how usability works. Fortunately for us, we found some wild, cool, and crazy souls, but the usability are obviously who are agree with us. And they found it actually usability. If you have a business with Adobe usability not working, but you're interested in community with interface or today, computer interaction, please take a quiz. It's a very good idea, great for people. They help pretty much any open source product that comes along and asks for help. And then another focus is on integrating between their personal Microsoft development and process. And for doing so, we're in the sphere of reality software. So, they're smoke design people's time. They're just a passive tip as a project, they'll be telling you what people do today. They're really great, really cool. Actually, deliver it. Their contribution to KDE 4 is they're writing a new human interface guide. It's kind of such an interface guide, which are the modern as well as comprehensive. These are expected to be 50 days before we go. But no, with the promise, we're expecting that we're implementing our software. A lot more probably 4.1, but we can't do 4.2. And the question why? Well, because this guideline is meant to be followed by us as well as developers, just for fun. So if it was written away, it was incomprehensible. We're going to prove it for us developers. The ultimate actually finding ways for software is diminished. So they're actually writing these guidelines with the developers being in mind. So they've done things such as if you read other guidelines from Apple, Microsoft, you'll find they're very verbose, long rather, they're trying to do this by very simple, straightforward, fact-driven, and they can drill down and find out reasons and rationale. So, it's very interesting what they're doing, not just looking at the user side, but also looking at who's going to create and implement these guidelines. And of course, this is important because it's often simple, and it's right. There's less friction between the person and the computer. And for developers, these guidelines are something to aim for. And that's not just human interface guidelines. Actually, these are designing an entire piece of the software around the idea of the project. This is a screenshot of what we now. Our new file manager called Dolphin in KDE 4. There's a missing icon because actually didn't have an icon on that, especially this time. And it's a bit of a mission, but the idea is we're creating pay file managers that simply pick this order file manager. Conquer is the amazing piece of software. It is the ultimate power tool, saying that you can do almost anything you want with it any way you wish to do it. This is great for my sample and my most people. For the average user, however, it's hard to deal with it. So, we're providing file management tools specifically in that bit for that regard. My favorite Conqueror on is down. We're not removing functionality from it, providing personally another tool. I hate the whole reason possible because trying to provide a usable experience is also powerful. Maybe I don't know. This is a good point. Yes. The major difference. It's still a good point. It still has the ability to do cool things and have actions connected to what looking at. Or some of the interesting features. So, one we have the Himalayan project. The Johnson, there's a rational actually, instead of being on the volume of the URL, the progress, talking to a better, we have one place where the URL will appear. The Johnson, really so, instead of saying, K, if you need, you bring it, see, it's a little thing, and you go, do your job, find a little up here, so here, and go over here, So we actually have a paper from your upland. We'll allow this more go in more. And the actual policy actually where you're going, as opposed to having a video of raw your request at all. For most users, raw your and XRL actually fairly treated this will track. And like, I have no idea what that means. For web browsers, it doesn't really allow us. But if you want to do it, you can use it. It's just HTTP 1, ERF, TP, and ACL2. For all that's called the other protocol, it's very hard to fathom, right? Wrap. However, we are not using Google Analytics, which is more advice, and we're not sacrificing twice per hour, so we can still tell us our network. Plus, we can go in and take a look at this set of protocols where people that have some required for the blood card that has stability needs. If you go in, you can click on and hold it more on the page, you can actually delve to a size of the truck. Our device is a large and just have a copy, well, you can need one button to track, just click on the other thing, control it. And if you do all the feeding, so with any time, click on and hold it, find a letter. That's one example of a hole. One of the times, you can see here, because for us, actually, it's really easy to build a system rover play for 5 days here. Very common, the metadata is really hard here. We now support software tagging the metadata. So you can annotate their file on the fly. So I would still buy an Apple software. And as you saw, and the mouse over, it's essentially like on something that any information changes. So in a lot of ways, it is really just you can use a powerful most of the technology in the 4.0 application providing a strategy to slightly different kinds of ways, which also are interacting with that, because that can change the ability. One program that's too fast, or simpler to use it, and info management to, and one that's too managed for, and search advanced user budget, and so the third element of that link, you can see, is still rather program, simple, and straight, this is where Q4 is really, really helping us set up. There's a few leaking components. One is the new drawing engine, so our and so this is a lot of really nice features. It does things such as, you know, it's nice to do support out like chat, it'll help others. Plus, it's a regular port adjusting for that foundation specific code, whether it's source, noise, right, or noise is more, and with noise is actually for free, so we can do things such as dodge, right, burn, etc. You would expect from noise, board, pages, applications. What it means is, we're able to do pages, say, like we build servers, they expect you don't understand on screen from a sophisticated desk, no information about the internet. We have built-in SVGs on your information, so same thing. But we can take the same version, vector graph, and render them directly to screen. And that's a cool one, I think, the point of cute that we provide already in K4 desktop. We have similar that is being used, naturally, to games. Second, as well, for on the desktop, what you're doing. Finally, the graphics we find, which is a full table of theme graphics based canvas, which is essential. So you do things such as display multiple supportable image multiple items with animation and interaction. What we see on the different dimensions, the transformations on the synthetic ones, and this all can work. The difficult thing is all three of these support technologies are in the Q4 because it's a port. It's just all the tools used without the application of the developer. They're all very trivial things to achieve after that one. This one is batch. Fortunately, in Moral Stack, we have some of the most likely minds in control in graphics and the world. We've got a robot that has people to set out in big algorithms and algorithms, people like me, and they spend a lot of time, as well as more than taking technologies, making them more simple to use information models, so that we can give them to application developers, and they can use it for a bit. This is the SQL to create what I call small organic interface. You can have one. The interesting about the human mind is that the people are really peers to help us survive in the natural environment of the world. We are often defined, if you will, for the computers. So, that is life. Our computers are my hardware, software. And those who create the worlds. You know, TFS is extremely complex machine. And several computer hacks are actually developed by members. He once said to me that the problem with realistic graphics is that anyway, the universe has all the atoms in the universe on the computer to make these facts with and these hacks computer hardware. So we've got this really difficult challenge about seeing the universe. However, when we can actually make interfaces more like the world, here's what you're better with the sad things about it. They feel more natural. I would simply see that as a fresh organic. So to me, that things should appear and disappear, so they should enlighten. Essentially, coming from somewhere, you're fading, they should get you fade out, they should slide out, and things should interrupt the crap away. That's more realistic. So, there you go. I'm surprised you can eat. Here's the free one, number two. Here's all 3-4 seconds. That's all. I like to do things. Just can wrap. Okay. 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 You know what? Okay. I'll tell you what. Two things. So, number one, I'm a researcher. For instance, large number is for search. Experimenting with PS, for using, you can't have pencil. You have no peanut, you can imagine more than graphics. It's offered. I provide the document just because it's all sentence. So that the objects that are playing games are not in other more pieces of realistic fashion. So, here's an example of the thing is, you know, physics engine that would actually derive out what you want to use in the desktop. And all the items you see, you don't need, none of your you know, because they generate density and full information, the digital fraction represents our capacity to have to constructs consisting of size, like density, friction, etc., which is why I move faster in some terms than others. Well, so we go ahead and questions. Right, I'll show you how to can support this. Lots and lots of fun. And show me if you pendulum, yeah, you keep your what you did. Another break down. This whole thing, this is going to allow us to actually create a desktop environment that works a bit more match for like the world. This is a screenshot of our cases. And I like to show it because two years ago, two years ago, and they do was because we opened up their system monitor as professionals exactly that we absolutely have to require. And it shows a lot of different elements. The background obviously is red displays using SVG, so as you saw, I've expanded the case being pixelated, it's really nice, and it's really nice. And it's not hard to see this explaining, but the different colors you can actually see and spread through them. They have another chance to become and the longer times they're not just the high lines, actually, be nice per line. All this DRAM developer only brought basically for a few rate by using what happened to Q4 release more. Again, this makes it easy for people to make around the indications look pretty. I don't know about you. You have a choice of using any sort of gradient, so you feel pretty. I'll pick pretty. You can use functionality, of course, support for 5 minutes in beauty too. So, this is what you said. So, the second major goal is for us has portability. One, what is portability? There's really two sides of the conditions here. There's what I call inbound portability and outbound portability. Inbound portability makes making it easier for certain software only to run on a CE or an KE desktop. Outbound here, makes it possible for KE software to run not on KE2 desktop. We have some traditional goals when looking at the portability. That runs on. Really, number one, is developers. And say, I really see some of your smart media considering, you know, what I prefer to do here. Have you seen the choice bomber video? The bomber running around like a maniac. Developer. I'm going to say he said, but he had a point. And the reason, right? Why? And that is that, well, why would developers not solution to keep? Because developers have to code, code, and code, but run, right? Yeah, it's all about KKE agents. Unfortunately, right now, for every one of us, called keep. Writing free software to lower, free software lockdown, that's fine for such as Linux. On Linux, people are, there are thousands of people who want to save their login, they are on Windows and the default OS. So we figure that if we play, bring our tools and configure technologies, we'll choose to develop engagers on our home platform to demonstrate we can introduce and boost orders and make to more developers in addition to like the one that the free software developer world. And hopefully, the ability is really to reduce a good number of data to start by following with free software, where it's already that contributing to what KVM. This will help me both go back to the application counter we face now, as well as improve the number of people working. Our second goal was another spreading open game standard we had was shocks or my joke for shocks is all that it's just for you and first class user for any or say open the code format. And it's they're really interested in the case of support issue that they didn't up your file for anything. Say collab that's super open specific change. It's not actually something radar. It's more two times against them. Best interest. You can do it too though. Validation. Delivering application, which is such chaos, existence, or contact with similar tasks. The Windows and the Mac OS hand, we deliver. We can spread the reach of the graphic standard. By doing so, we can open up a game market right now. We have to choose between some license here and being on Mac, or when we have to pay between my system, the research technology, and bit for my document, and allow. We want to remove that position. So they can look for, they can monitor on this, whatnot, heterogeneous environment. So it's also, and so we're not losing any function of that between them. Problem. Which is
How do you write KD software?
there at the point, the step is to rotate through hello world, bridge, or do something more complex, as well as looking at things that have to be five, and letters for string, PG, how to deal with
This is actually all installed now.
So any application I'm going to take a look and see what the processes are. You're very familiar with the API class platform decision dependent. This is important both to expand and revalidate applications that solicit hardware, as well as make those applications highly portable with other features. It also could be that as the links in the platform change, the software platform change, which may shock you because it happens regularly, you don't have to rewrite your software. This is something that we learned forward to multimedia, which we'll get to in a second. Pretty casually, you can see a multiple platform, and as well as different kinds of information that's applied. Power management, network management, form discovery, etc. So, kind of platform that you're about, and you want to deal with this, there's a bigger base on your office and better person, very well, actually deals with. So, I tried a multimedia stack, that was the last thing we could deal with that. We use super much of arts, T3, just to get a multimedia, so you guys know arts. There's nothing else that's available to the when we start in T2. So, we're about to, let's go through, let's see what we're taking. It ran into some limitations, and then we had a whole bunch of source code written that was written by the parts. That one was wrong. The other problem was that multimedia developers have a very unique view of the world. That's not like your mind. They can create a very powerful, very complex, very beautiful piece of software that are appropriate primarily for pro audio and pro video. The pro, of course, is professional. Most of us as software developers are not just doing professional audio multimedia or professional audio video. We're doing things like note-taking utility, which we really do. Able to record a little voice. It's a long time. We're running presentation software. We have a full video. Why can't we write a case on a video until very recently? Because it's painfully hard to do. Photon aims to do a couple of things. Number one, it aims to make it simple. Now, it's not for pro audio, it's not for pro video. It's for the other 95% of the world. Right? The 95% of the world that had no real options. The other thing it aims to do is future-proof and make things cross-platform. So you don't have to write arts for GStreamer or to record audio or record video if you're an Mac or to write actual error. You write to Photon. And then Photon's back end does what it's supposed to do on that platform. This allows us to write very highly portable software that does pretty much everything you need to do with multimedia unless outside the code world, and also has the future of it. So if the next part happens, the streamer goes away, no big deal for us or any application developers, we just rewrite it back end for whatever is the thing, the bug of the day. Now, I say 95% of use case, what does that mean? Well, it covers opening a media file by locally or mobile over the network. Like cool things in K4, so we can now do seeking in files over the network, so you can play a music video, say, over a Windows file sharing system or Sound server, and download the entire thing locally first, they'll actually stream it. So you can open file locally or remotely, you can stop, pause, fast forward, rewind, simple recording, mix recording, you can do effects with audio visual on screen displays, you can do equalization, those kinds of things. Everything you expect, say, from Amarok, or from Caffeine, or a video player. You're not going to use quality mixing and recording, but anything else that's completely global phone. It also provides nice little features like for the user being able to set different input and output devices as well as different levels, depending on the kind of information it is. So I may want my music, you know, nice to do because in the office, but I want my accessibility sounds to come through really loud, or I want my games to be really, really quiet, so I don't want to hear them. I may want my communication, such as when my boy phone rings, I want that to be louder than my music, etc. So Photon provides a nice set of features as well. Also providing Festival, which is a voiceover IP as well as presence. So it's actor. Voiceover IP as well as presence, service architecture. We're not starting our own, we're actually working from the GNOME project. It's a project called Tapioca, it's all happening through Desktop Door. It too is eBus based, and it provides a single point of integration for its messaging, and for phone and voice phone calling. It's really quite, you can see, a fairly complex architecture, but what's nice about it is that it abstracts away the logic from the graph interface, and so it can actually work across multiple desktops. Opinion is another very exciting project that complements this. This provides a storage system, both retrieval as well as provision, of contacts and messaging. This includes email, calendaring, your contact book, obviously. It's designed in a way, again, where all this happens in a non-GUI environment with a bunch of background processes that are fetching and updating your information. It's allowed to be flexible, which means that you may be making an email application as well simultaneously on your desktop, as well as simultaneously with your handheld. It's scalable, so that one call you have down to through the contact is it doesn't scale up to the size of the message stores that you find in an enterprise situation. So it's highly scalable and it's shareable between applications. And this is very important because today, computing is all about communication identity. So this is going to be one of the very core pieces. Now this we're looking to actually have in essentially technology preview status by 4.0. We hope to have it, barring again, if it changed, but worst case, right, you're looking to have stabilized 4.1 and piece of software like contact taking it out of the button. So 4.0 is going to be a lot of my work, going to be, yeah, we're aware of that. PIP is not exciting, or information methods is not perceived to be exciting, fuel software. It's actually by energy calendar, people go ahead or have a calendar, and then get involved. So it goes really slow compared to the other things, such as Rabbit. But some really cool, weird things that are happening like Sonnet. Actually, I love talking about Sonnet. It's spelling and grammar checking. My spelling sucks, but Sonnet will help me. When we know Sonnet, it sets it apart from pretty much everything else out there in its multi-language. I was speaking about this with Lewis on the airplane over from Canada, and she was amazed at what it could do. Why? Here's this reach on it. It's detecting different languages, one document, different languages. It's detecting, in statistical analysis, what language is being used, the extensions, and switch it to spell checking back in real time. Yes, cool, very cool. To do proper spell checking with zero configuration on the part of the user. How they get this done? They do a sentence that encapsulates most of the linguistic intricacies of human language, and then put it out to the transmission community, the pre-software world, and say, hey, can you help us translate this one sentence? And then they build a regression test suite around that that helps them determine whether or not they can properly identify using statistical techniques in different languages. The backends for this are also being shared across desktops. The people at AdWord are helping with us. So again, it's this whole thing of extending what we can do, not letting professionals in the field are accepting, while at the same time sharing with other people in the free software world. Big things like Cross, this application automation. This allows us to easily script applications. So as an application developer, you can say other people to write scripts in my application, like control it in JavaScript, or maybe Ruby, or maybe Python, whatever they like. Now, the big challenge with this traditionally has been you've had to manually manage bindings. You've had to write support for each language yourself. Crossing keeps handling that all for you. Your actual code that works with Cross. Twice within the top down, we create a couple of objects, right? Then we create an action. Action is something you can trigger, something like, say, an item in a menu or a button click, what have you. So, that is the abstract representation of such a thing. created a cross action. We set the interpreter. Which might be JavaScript, Python, Ruby. We then set the code that the interpreter has input. We then add each of the objects. We then add the objects, and then we trigger the action. That's all we do. The user can now write a script, interact with any of the scriptable components on those objects. What do you mean by scriptable? Script offers some nice keywords, like scriptable. And you practice in a single slot, the word scriptable, it becomes scriptable. And what cross does is it exports into the interpreter for that has run that script all the properties and scriptable methods and signals of those objects. This is the entire thing you do as an application developer to make an application scriptable. This is part of KU lesson 4. We also have tools for multi-thread development. If how do we build a multi-core system? Yeah, that's becoming more and more common. To take advantage of these, we need to write multi-thread applications. Who here is a multi-thread application? How many fun is really simple to do? No, it hasn't. It's true, it's non-trivial. It's not easy. It's originally what's called a broker thread pattern, where you have a computation where a job is synchronous to do, it's going to take an extended period of time. It's just a fire forget that you know your button. Thread Reaper actually takes care of scheduling, threading. In fact, you can say, when job A is done, then job B and C may then start. You can actually do dependencies between jobs, etc. And Thread Reaper takes care of all that for you. It makes writing thread applications in the broker thread pattern simple for me. We're also highlighting search indexing. Squeegee is amazing indexer. Developers at Sun recently put out a paper comparing Squeegee different indexing engines and Squeegee, everything up there by quite a margin. It exported the DBus interface. It has no dependencies on Q for KDE itself. And what's really exciting from my perspective, anyways, the European Union is funding practical research and development. It's a social semantic desktop. It's being done at Madrid in France. But the research is to marry an REF tag-based semantic framework into a very fast indexer, allowing us to provide pervasive connection between different disparate sets of data, such as MP3s and your ebooks and your email and your contacts, building a sensible, human-friendly semantic desktop. And this is really important because the amount of information we have on our desktop today is insane. It's ridiculous. My laptop here is 100 gigabyte hard drive. The first computer I actually owned, I had several hard drives. They add up to 210 megabytes altogether. I don't know, there's no way I'm ever going to build that up. now I have a few slightly larger hard drives than that, and I'm almost at capacity. This is not common. People store photos and music, videos, on the system, and we're trying to lose control of that information. We're trying to Google for our desktop, and Squeegee is helping provide that.
One question that Squeegee does is limited to your own desktop anywhere, to have centralized indexes that we can merge into you. But everybody in corporate needs to index, make an index to start to waste a lot of resources.
Right. At this point, it's a little bit. It does seem to seem as bad.
I talked with a developer a couple of weeks ago, and he said that this is one of the scenarios he's working on.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, I've worked on this in my office space because basically I do essentially provide better space for it. It's faster, and it's less time to be further.
Exactly. There are some challenges with it. One of the things that if you roll that out, you have to provide controls, especially in Europe, there are privacy laws and information control expectations on institutional settings. So we have to be able to control what gets indexed, locally through locally, vice versa. That's one of the challenges. Oh, yeah, something that's definitely on the complaint, but let's have this time. Right now, focus on the people working really well locally. So, I'm going to record really quickly, don't take too much of your time. So, yeah, okay, so I'm going to underline stuff, right? Frameworks, goals, and portability issues. Pretty much on now, these are things we've been aiming for 4.0. These things are already in the version repository. They work. We're looking to move into as close to as possible with 4.0. But it's really going to be 4.1, 4.2, etc. We're going to start to see applications take advantage of these things. I don't expect every application, for instance, to be ultimately hardware aware in 4.0. I do by 4.2 or 4.3. And there's other frameworks and other things that are happening that I've talked about in this presentation no time, but because we're not confident actually going to make people code. So, most things you don't want to talk about, that's going to happen because they might not. So, applications, really quick. One of them is Plasma. Plasma is a body that is reworking the desktop and the panels. Right now, the desktop is a place to put icons. It's a highly inefficient use of space. It's actually a metaphor or paradigm designed around the hardware and software limitations of the early 1980s, where you could run one application at a time in a 9-inch diagonal black and white screen. At that point in time, you put one disk in a computer, the only graphical computer that was on the consumer market, from American times the Macintosh. You put one disk in a time, floppy disk, you have a few files on it, everything fit. No big problem. You can literally see every file in your computer on the screen. This is only the case. Not that, we have identity, network, huge amounts of data. The landscape has changed completely, and yet our desktops still have little bunch of icons on them. This is a very efficient way of working. Looking at how different people use computers, say for instance, graphic artists, notice that a lot of graphic artists would be working on multiple projects over the course of a week, simultaneously. And so what they do is they can put the different icons in four corners of their screen, or they put different projects, all the files of it, in E1B as a folder. And they work on project A, they open that folder A and drag all the icons onto the desktop, work on it for a while. When they're done, all the icons back into the folder, close the folder, open the next folder, drag all those icons onto the desktop. And I watch this and it's like, wow. Why are you making this manually? It makes a lot of sense. How many people use your computer for one task and one task only? Right? The desktop should be able to help us work on more than one project at different times. The main interface was working on the concept of this mobile desktop, where we can have a whole two-dimensional space we can't see all at once, we can zoom in and out of. We're playing with that bad idea, and actually, Apple 2 Q46 is really easy for us to do. A similar code project that started last year continues to evolve visibility of time on your desktop. It actually marches along in real time. You can zoom in and out of, so you can view a day or a week, a month, or a year, and see all of your, not all of your calendar drives. You can say, I work on that say, after work or after school, so you drag that file to, say, 5 in the evening, and when that runs into your screen, you'll have time to open it up. Things like that. There's such better things we can be doing with our desktop and our panels. And again, enough is not against the idea that when we move things around on our desktop, they should simply appear and disappear. They should drop an icon top and the right, should jump into each other out of the way, be able to zoom smoothly in and out, make the desktop a lot more like what we expect in the world. Ocular is a really cool application. It's the evolution of KPDF, if you're familiar with it. It's Universal Document Viewer. Right now, it supports 11 different file formats. It's also PDF. It also supports PostScript, multi-page TIFF, DigiDB, and a few others. So the cool thing it does is annotation. This allows you to place random notes on documents, allows you to highlight, you can add a yellow highlighter or a pink one, you can change colors. You can put snaps on pages to do more important, what have you. And spend our view, as we've learned in HK, it optionally supports DRM. Optionally. So if you ask for Carter because that's what you have to do, you can support it by being a free software project, you don't let it be mandatory, and we put the choice in your hands. Then, of course, because in today's day and age, B3 document is not an option. So, here's a screenshot of it from recently. I've got the annotation handled out. I've put a couple of snaps on pages. We've got the thumbnail on the side as usual. You can view reviews and bookmarks. We still have, of course, table contents. I've highlighted some stuff up there, and I've got a note here. So, if you want to place a note, type to it, I'll keep it for later. What's cool is, when you open the document up again, all your stuff is there. And the document format supports it, like PDF does. You can send it, you can save it, send PDF to your friend, and it has your annotations on the document. This makes documents a lot more like, well, real documents, doesn't it? You can also see the side-by-side multi-page layout that's possible with Popular. It's also extremely fast, and thanks to some of our code that's being done in coordination with the Advanced Project, actually, the PDF viewer, working on Popular, Ocular, and Strange Choice of Fate, is actually the first free software PDF viewer that supports PDF forms. So, yeah, soon we will no longer be the kind of desktop that can do PDF forms, and we'll have that very, very important feature. Hopefully you've already seen, running over here, we'll skip that real quick, just to reemphasize the integration issue, KE, the integration capabilities of KE are showing Shawnee again. Development is taking advantage of all the network transparency and all the cool things we can do in Conqueror in a similar phase. The tagging metadata is all happening through Xtreme, and the semantic desktop world is happening around that. So this is Dolphin, it's just something you interface through it. So it's the ability to integrate things in case you really, really cool. Canvas 2 is really shaping up very, very nicely. As usual, integrated lightweight and consistent. Unlike previous releases, it's actually what you see is what you actually get. The text support in Q4 has improved immensely, so that we can actually do WYSIWYG, we can do buffer turning. You can actually embed entire documents. If you put text in an image, it's actually K-word, you don't notice it. It's actually gotten another way. Yes.
What's the actual difference of K-Office and OpenOffice?
What's the difference? Well, K, besides the fact that K-Office is immensely lighter, so it's much, much more appropriate for space constraining devices. It also has a much larger set of applications. It covers the basics, like OpenOffice does, for processing, spreadsheets, etc. They both now use ODF, ODP, and ODT, etc. as their default data file format. This is very important for file standardization. Microsoft started calling us on it, it's not standard, only one application uses it. Which is true, because that's what we tell them, right? It's like, you say it's standard, you're the ones who use it, so it's not really a standard. With both K-Office and OpenOffice supporting the ODF family, we have a very strong case to people such as the EU that this is actually, well, a standard, and not just a paper, but a real standard. But beyond that, K-Office also has a lot of applications you won't find elsewhere in the software world, such as the Microsoft Asset Replacement CASI, which is already cross-platform, in P3, and provides a full database application environment. Things like Krita, Cougar, which Krita is a paint application, actually a paint application. Might be a slightly different, has a different focus, so it has support for multiple culture spaces, especially ones that are aimed towards natural media. Yes, Cougar is the that's right, kind of really practical. Cougar is a business reporting application, there's diagramming, there's charting, etc. So K-Office all lighter provides a large set of application, K-formula, etc. Yeah.
The interesting bit is that OpenOffice has 6 million lines of code and whole of KDE has 5.
I just got the impression that it also makes the same code, but it's not. Oh no, completely separate categories from 100%. In fact, K-Office, this is one of the interesting things about the history of KDE. A lot of people go, why do you do K-Office? There's already OpenOffice. No, there wasn't. K-Office predates OpenOffice. People go, why do you get HTML from Firefox? Well, yeah, no. There wasn't. K-Office predates the open source itself. So, we're actually, we may be a curse of always being first. And we at least kind of pay for that sometimes. Our educational software. Right now, it's collecting 25 applications and growing by the day. Software aimed at students of various levels of education, very young, to people that are learning, the advanced concepts of chemistry, astronomy. It's continues to be a great application. It's taking advantage of the usual running capabilities in Q4, so the graphs look nicer, their alias and zooming looks nicer. We also have cool features like remote real-time auto control. We've got mentioned geography applications, including this little widget we've got now. It's going to be appearing in the geography applications in Q4, or K4, called Marble. And as you can see, it's the globe. So, there's all of us. Yes, I'll talk a little bit about it. I'll be zooming on here. And as you can see, you can search for cities. And of course, you can see not only the Earth, but you can also take a look at other overlays such as Earth at night. This is a satellite view. KDE actually right now is working on a political map version, so that students who are learning geography can look at the big, simple colored versions of the countries with the black outlines in the major cities. And that's why there's interest there. What's neat is this is a self-contained application, so that if you have you'd like to be able to tag, say, his photos, we'll track who that he is, by clicking on different places of the world. If you're an application developer, you simply say, new Marvel, and you have basically a suitable, an example map. You can see it's doing evil things as well, that it's actually come free, which is doing things like, you can see a legend here, is outlined, so you can see the map behind it, different rows. It's all outlined. And these are you get for free, essentially with Q4. This allows us to make all applications a little bit more beautiful. And of course, it's important because everybody deserves free software, even children. KDE games, okay, we can't tell these series, we have more than once in a while. The KDE games world is seeing a lot of balances as well. They make everything to SVG and really nice improved modern artwork. It's a really nice selection of fun, but also light games. So here's a screenshot of the new Lifelong, which is kind of exciting. The search is native scale is down in GIMP, but Krita. This is actually resized the window, and the tile has resized because SVG is scale, it's scalable, it's resolution dependent, and it's still playable at different size. So if we come back here real quick, show you another example. This is a KPAT, the key patient's application. This is all SVG based. From the background, so if I expand this, Documentary fans, the card holders for SVG as well. Again, because we have an alpha line support native, that's all that's done. And all the animations, this is all done with that Q graphics view. There we go. Okay, give them up. And because it's scalable, that one, if I shoot it down, I'll get a blue look, but I can't see a whole lot. Anyways, you can see it's all playable, if I can see that small. And this is what we're looking to bring, by the way, when you ask about being putting some PDAs to all our applications, not just things like these widgets. Because at this point, I'll just say it's on this screen on a PDA that we have. Right? So, it's a good resolution dependent displays.
So, just one more thing about the PDAs, you probably need to remove your, some of your kind of to our information line, you can find that on our small screen, you will just fill it up so you can't see the application you really want to use. So that's important. Like, making applications for small screens, you need to remove things
you need to remove the context menu, you need to maybe just make a calendar and dates more easy of the whole view as you can see
the
context.
At the same time, our panel devices are increasing in that resolution. If you look at some of the cases we have, the devices are widely available in Japan. We're looking at devices that are, you know, we had on a desktop computer center 15 years ago. Additionally, the zoom in and out interface is going to help. So, and this is at least the beginning of things. I could probably talk for, like, but hours and hours about what's going on KDE 4 right now. Whether it's Amarok, Caffeine, DigiCam, Gatekeeper, right, they've got really nice new colorful signifiers. KDE Notchot, other features, for someone who does that presentation, that screenshot presentation, same thing, if you're trying to take a snapshot of a region, you had it just right. So now, naturally, size, yeah, that's what I wanted. So this looks like that are going into our applications. KDevelop is jumping along very nicely between its really nice environment over what was in there at 83. And on. Watch out, Q4.3 introduces QScript, which is a very powerful system. It's a primary language drive actual desktop there. So if you're going to write your own little add-ons or widget for the desktop, we're encouraging you to do that in JavaScript. We've got something called Hot New Stuff 2, which is based on the type of stuff in K3. It's part of freestyle.org now. Combined with a packaging system called Asmagic, allows you to say, here's my little widget in discrete language, upload to a central server, authenticate if you wish the GPG key, let it download it, so click and actually interact with it, except for, oh, that's cool, I want that. It downloads it, installs it, and runs it, that's regardless of what operating system they're running, because there's no compiled code. Java, Python, Ruby, and C# bindings are all I've been working on, or actually working right now. Backends, GStreamer for Lendo is contributing the Phonon backend, so we are doing very good things there. Zine and MMM, also backend for Phonon are being developed. The HAL backend for Solid. I'm really hoping that the, as we talk to our developers, the backend for things like Core Audio, Core Video, and DirectX. So a huge world of involvement. That's 5 million lines of code, still a fair chunk of code, so 4 million lines right now. 1,500 people that have been accessed. And they're generally fucking cool, near people that both use and the boards and cheer on and to comment on their websites as well as actually do code once in a while. That's why, you know, I say that while there's a lot going on, there's always more to be done. I encourage everybody to get involved. Right now, we're creating something that is, at the beginning, looking to make an experience for people to use every single day. Not only just a desktop, not only just a cloud application, but something that really pushes the state of the art. Something that rivals what Microsoft and Apple are able to do, that rivals what we're able to do. We're not chasing their taillights anymore. We're actually progressing beyond that. And we might ask everybody to come and join the fun. Right? This is exclusionary. It's like, no, you have to be cool, be part of our club. No, this is something we actually say, hey, want to be part of the fun? Go ahead. And even KDE is your cup of tea. If you like some other project, we use technology from a lot of free software projects and see that the entire free software ecosystem needs the support of people, whether from the server side or desktop side, it all helps each other. So please get involved. Now if you say, but I'm not a software developer, I say, I don't care. Because no matter what your skill set is, there's something you can do if you wish to do it. If you're good promotional work, can you write documentation? Do you speak language other than English? Translation needs to be done. Are you an artist? There's a huge need for unique and good artwork, applications, websites. Website content needs to be developed. User support, of course, development. So pretty much, if you really want to get involved, there is something that you can do. Don't feel like you only get involved if you're really good C++ hacker.
Right. Well, that's a short record tape switch.
Actually, I can jump.
Well, now questions.
Oh, I do questions. Good round tape, I love to hear questions about round tape.